And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, talk about this show. Y'all, this show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call once again Fort Benning. Yeah, Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio. All y'all in radio land are matched by all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and dialing us in every single day, live streaming the show from places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of y'all that podcast too, after the fact, catching it and catching up. I want to say this. I say all that because we can see when people log in, when they do things, and basically wherever you're catching the show, hear me say we appreciate it. You are much loved, and you're the reason why we do what we do. So thank you very much. Text lines are indeed happening right now. So let me see what we got here. I got several. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I'm appalled that interceptor aircraft on the flight line designed to protect the Capitol were unarmed. It was going to cost those brave pilots their life because of it. I hope somebody had to answer for that. Well, I will say this: they were scrambled, but they were not on the ready line for this purpose. So, this was a National Guard unit that was called to action, and they basically had to do an all call and bring them in, and apparently they got there quick enough, or maybe they were on ready status, but they didn't have time to get loaded up. That's what I understand. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear that the legendary actor Robert Redford died at the age of 89 today? I did. That's a loss. He was one of my favorites for many years. One of my favorite movies of all time was Jeremiah Johnson. I mean, literally, I love that movie. I could quote it all day long. But yeah, Robert Redford passed away today at the age of 89. By the way, he says, JP, do you know the Braves are definitely not going to make the playoffs? Just making sure you know.
I think I accepted that in June, so yes.
I think we're about six games in, and you were already accepting that.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we started 0-7. I thought that was a little bit of a sign.
That's a drag. That's an anchor. John M. from Huntsville says, the story about Lucky Penny gave me chills. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you, John M. We appreciate you, man. Joe in Tennessee says, strength and honor, best expressed by the biblical statement, here am I, send me. I agree. Said a lot of men face the possibility of death or injury, even to the point of taking a cyanide pill, thanks to all who answered the call of duty. Joe C. in Tennessee. Thank you, Joe. Scott from Russellville says, inspiring monologue, Brother Phil. Thank you once again. There is still hope. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And Allie from Athens says, having a chance to serve those who serve and experience their strength and honor is a privilege that defies description. Thank you for reminding us that the good and those that are good are all around us, Colonel. You're welcome, Allie, and thank you, my friend. Listen, I got to give you a quick update, some breaking news that just occurred a little while ago. The shooter, the murderer of Charlie Kirk, has just been charged under state law. So in Utah, the district attorney has now brought charges of aggravated murder, illegal possession of a firearm, obstruction of justice, I believe witness tampering of some kind, and I don't know what that was for. And then another one was endangering children with a harmful act. So because there were children in the crowd, and he shot over their heads to get to Charlie Kirk. So the end result is multiple charges. And I will tell you that under Utah law, my understanding is the charge of aggravated murder allows for the death sentence. So that just occurred. Now, you may recall we had the conversation yesterday with Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, regarding the possibility of federal charges. He said if they go ahead and get him charged and he is he is literally under indictment in Utah under state law, the feds can continue to develop their investigation to decide whether federal law could also apply. And then deciding, which one has the what I would call the better penalties, if you will. I think in this particular case, they may wind up being best served by letting the feds help with the investigation, but the Utah courts maintain the prosecution. We'll see. All I know is it's getting top flight attention right now, and rightfully so. So yeah, what's the guy's name? Tyler Robinson. Tyler Robinson. Who apparently has confessed, or I take it back, he confessed to others that he had done it. The last thing we heard was he was not cooperating with authorities now that he's been arrested, although he did turn himself in. His family made him turn himself in. But yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to portray him as did a good thing by turning himself in. No, I'm not experiencing any remorse here that I'm aware of. All I know is his family. In fact, one report I heard is his family had detained him and called the police. And then he willingly went with the police. He didn't resist. But yep, aggravated murder, illegal possession of a firearm, obstruction of justice, witness tampering, and endangerment of a child in the commission of a crime. So there you go. All right, we're going to talk about my first dipper here is talking about Gen Z rising. You weigh in as you see fit, Mr. Gen Z man. But Charlie Kirk was obviously somebody who, in my opinion, transcended age demographics in many ways. I mean, look at the people who are talking about his impact. We're hearing that Donald Trump himself, who's 78 years old, Don Trump Jr., considering him a brother, Marco Rubio and Vice President Vance are both in their, 40s, I believe. And then you've got a number of others. You've got, Alabamians, people like Cliff Sims, who considered him to be a strong personal friend. And then you've got what I would call the much younger generation, often referred to as Gen Z, and those could be anywhere from high school to up through their 20s. But I will tell you this, that was Charlie Kirk's mission. His mission was to what is often referred to as Gen Z, and I don't know where the Z came from. Where did the Z come from? Do we have any idea? Why do you have a Z?
I don't know. Just what they decided. Whoever makes the names up for those, you know, who does that.
War Z. But nonetheless, I think that may be the demographic, though, that sees the most most catalyst, or what I would put this, the most exponential force brought to bear because of what happened last week. The generation that's going to wind up seeing this through to having more growth, more strength, more ability to do things they wouldn't normally have done because they were inspired by the guy who made it his mission in life to reach them. You about to say something there? What are you thinking?
Well, I think you're exactly right, but I think the reasoning is not just because Charlie Kirk was a staple, the staple, I would say, for Gen Z conservatives. I mean, he was on college campuses regularly fighting for the cause of Gen Z and what we like, what our priorities are as a generation. That was his whole mission. Turning Point exactly. Was to fight and advocate for conservative Gen Zers, but also the fact that the shooter that took him out was Gen Z. I think it's because we know what is happening to the liberal Gen Z, the liberals of our generation. They're being more radicalized to violence. So now I think the Gen Z conservatives know that the fight that is on our hands has now just been taken up a notch by the liberals of our said generation. So it's a spiritual battle, like I said, but I think that is what made it hit even harder is that, you know, even the liberals of our generation, the people that we're, quote, fighting against, you know, politically, they've now resorted to violence. So I think that's what's made it hit even harder as well. And I think that's kind of shaken the conservatives of Gen Z to realize what is on our hands and how important it is to fight the good fight, because it's just gotten a lot darker.
Yeah, got a lot darker. There's a great way of describing it. But I also think that we're starting to see a lot more light coming out of it.
Yes, exactly. The people going back to church, the people, you know, using Charlie Kirk's death not to let it go to waste in the sense of it, where the Gen Zers are using it to go back to God. I think that's the best outcome from it.
We're going to have a conversation with a guy who is involved with TPUSA, who has met Charlie Kirk personally, who even spoke at Mar-a-Lago at a TPUSA gala event. And got a standing ovation, I understand. I've got a couple of articles here that I wanted to touch on, because I don't think we need to understate the extent to which, and I hate to keep branding, but Gen Z, just to be able to have a way to describe who I'm talking about, I don't think we need to understate the level of impact this has. I mean, for the first couple of days after Charlie Kirk's assassination, there were times when I would get emotional talking about it. But I have heard more people, especially in the Gen Z demographic, say how it was absolutely an emotional event, even if they had never met him before. And that's the thing. He was one of those personalities, had one of those causes, had one of those abilities that seemed to transcend whether you had ever actually met him in person. But I've got a couple of articles here. One from Fox. This one says, From Grief to Growth, Turning Point USA Becomes a Rallying Force for Gen Z. Headline that came out yesterday afternoon. This one has one student who is at Grand Canyon University who said, I didn't know too much about him until he came to Grand Canyon University last year, spoke to all of us, and I heard things that he was saying, like the fact that he brings all this through God and through his faith. He said, I do come from a Christian college, so I already believed in that, but it made me look deeper into what we are as a people and our freedom. And he shed a good light on that. And so that's one of the things that, I mean, man, what a successful eulogy of anyone. What a thing to be said in your epitaph. Scribe that on your marker. Lord, let me know at the end that someone says, because of what I said, it made them look deeper into who we are as a people and about our freedoms. If there is something that I've said that drives somebody back to faith, inspire somebody to understand and appreciate their freedoms of where they live, then that's success. And I'm telling you right now, we're hearing story after story like this about people saying that about Kirk's impressions that he left. Here's one University of Georgia student. It says, Charlie Kirk was the embodiment of the First Amendment. He stood up for what we believe in as conservatives, and ultimately he was assassinated for doing what he loved, sticking up for what's right and expanding free speech on campuses. And he says, this is the same student, says, we're not going to stop. We're gonna stand in fear of what we believe in. We're not gonna stand in fear of what we believe in, and we will keep moving the message forward to grow the party among Gen Z, get more people involved, even those who disagree with him. Did you hear that? Even those who disagree with him. That was one of the things that, if I had to say there was like a hallmark trait, was the fact that Charlie Kirk would sit down on a campus quad with a microphone and say, Prove me wrong. And they would come up to the microphone, and some of them hated him. All they would do is cuss him out. I saw one old guy try to challenge him to a fist fight. I saw another one, a full-blown Satanist wearing a goat head, come up and try to lay a curse on him. He rebuked him in the name of Jesus, and the guy turned around and walked away. But anybody and everybody could come to the microphone. He didn't turn them away, even when they disagreed with him. Another student from George Mason University says he was always willing to debate and entertain other points of view. There's my point again. Understood values. He made them entertaining. See, that's a thing too. You know, the Apostle Paul was talking about the sharing of the gospel, but he said, I've become all things to all people that I might win some all the more. He was not saying, I morph my message. He wasn't saying, I find new truth wherever people are. What he was saying was, I will convey it in a way that grabs the audience. The message never changes, but the presentation might. Because you have to speak to who you're with. If you always ask people to understand what you're saying as opposed to conveying it to them in a way they can grab, then you're not a communicator. You're a speaker. There's a difference. Charlie Kirk was a communicator. He literally laid it down there where the baby goats could get to it. He took the same message without change, and he laid it down in a way that whatever audience he's with could grab it. And this student at George Mason says, and that broke through. It was something the older conservatives never could do. Dang, I'm an old conservative. I'd like to think that I can, but I get it. He did it. And by the way, he started when he was a teenager, and he was 31 when he died. And then last one before we go to the break. This other student says, he made me feel my young voice was relevant to conservatives in the Republican Party. That's just it. You know, you should never look at someone. I'm going from memory. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on you because you're young, but in your speech, life, love, faith, and purity, show yourself to be an example of a believer. Did you hear that? That was the Apostle Paul again telling Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you just because you're young. But in the way you speak, in the way you live, in the way you take care of other people, speech, life, love, faith, in the way you present your faith, and in purity, which is, you know, the integrity, having a good conduct, all those things, you show them an example of what a believer is, people will pick up on it. And that's what Charlie Kirk was saying. You can be young and still make a difference. Guess what? You're still part of the party. Guess what? As soon as the age limits for running for office have been achieved, run for office. And he's also saying, and make sure when you get to these things, you understand what it is you have. That's a huge piece of this. He gave them What one student here from Columbia University, by the way, Columbia University, so glad to hear there's conservatives up there. One student at Columbia University called it permission to be more outspoken about our faith and our personal responsibilities. Like, his message conveyed to them, it's okay to talk about this stuff and to believe it. I'm telling you, man, he empowered people. Gen Z's rising. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. We'll put a wrap on that. I got some text messages. And then coming up top of the hour, I got a cool call coming in from a guy whose name is Lincoln Trumps. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Coming up top of the hour, we've got a young man named Lincoln Trumps coming on. He was connected to me because he's related to a good friend of mine. And it turns out this guy is a solid TPUSA young conservative, inspired by Charlie Kirk, actually winning all kinds of awards, even spoke at Mar-a-Lago, got a standing ovation for it. So we'll talk to Lincoln Trumps here in a few minutes. I will tell you there's a breaking news right now on the internet. Benny Johnson is what I'm looking at. Has a full text message exchange between that was released by the Utah County DA. A text message exchange between Charlie Kirk's assassin and his transgender boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, roommate after committing the murder. And the whole thing describes how he did it, how he hid the rifle, the transgender roommate saying, but why'd you do it? When'd you do it? How long have you been planning this? I appreciate the transparency. It's all starting to come to the forefront. Kano from Layton, Alabama says, I listened to the press release. They are seeking death penalty. Witness tampering is for him telling his roommate to retrieve the rifle and also telling his roommate to not talk to police. Aha! There you go. That makes sense. Thank you, Kano. Brian from Harvest, Alabama says, I would identify myself as a pretty cold person and the Thursday after just watching videos, I broke down and cried. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I've heard, there's so much on the internet right now. I don't know what is still available for view. I would just suggest don't watch it. He's gone. Watching it's not going to help. Nathaniel from Huntsville says, we all know after the boomers came Gen X. Prior to being nicknamed millennials, the next generation was nicknamed Gen Y as a double entendre, just not because it became next, but because of the reputation for questioning everything. And the generational trait was somehow suppressed in the unity after September 11th, but it stuck long enough for the early parts of Gen Z to get the nickname. Okay, that's cool. But now what do we do? Gen double A? What are we going to have?
Well, no, the next generation after us is Gen Alpha.
So it's gonna loop back around.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Gen Alpha, like I'm an alpha male.
They're not alpha. No.
So every generation thinks it's got more moxie than the one that comes after it. So you're saying they should have been called beta?
Well, I mean they're kids, so it's not much to say anything yet. But yeah.
Danny from Decatur says, I saw the video interview. Hang on a second. We got two things here. What do we got? The interview she did about that day? What are we talking about? Who's he talking about? This is about the aircraft. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. The monologue, yes. He said they returned from a training flight without any weapons. They got the alert to get airborne, and they agreed to a plan to ram the airliner. There were two aircraft there that were also going to be loaded with weapons to follow them airborne for the target. He said, in my opinion, at the fall of the Soviet Union, the major threat wasn't there. So to save money, 24-hour alert crews and aircraft were cut or drastically reduced. Great point, Danny. Appreciate you. Coming back. We got Lincoln Trumps on the line. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday, because it's always about the food, y'all. So we're finishing up this discussion. You know, I called the first dipper of the show today Gen Z Rising, and I really believe that's the case. I've got people like JP in my life who's sitting right here in the studio with me, who has already said that, you know, one of the people that inspired him to be who he is as a young conservative was, of course, Charlie Kirk. But I want to go even deeper. We talked the other day to a young lady who is actually the president of TPUSA at the University of Alabama. And now I want to take a deeper dive, and I want to talk to someone who is actually still in high school right now. So you're about to hear from a young man named Lincoln Trumps. With a name like that, I think he has to run for president. Lincoln Trumps. He's a senior at Lafayette High School in Lafayette, Louisiana. He founded a Turning Point USA chapter right there at his high school, and there's not as many high school chapters as you might think. There really aren't. So he's founded one of them, and it's known. He had the honor of speaking at the TPUSA Winter Gala at Mar-a-Lago. I understand he got a standing ovation for his speech. He also met with Charlie Kirk personally, got a scholarship from the organization. He's been very active in state and local politics even as a high school student, very successful in fundraising. He's in Model United Nations. He's a member of Louisiana's Youth Advisory Council, president of his Lafayette High speech and debate team. He just won, by the way, the Ronald Reagan Oratory Award, and he's heading to California for the Nationals on that. So without further ado, that's a long introduction, but it was worth it. Lincoln Trumps, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us, man. So listen, first of all, your name is Lincoln Trumps. Does that mean you're going to run for president? Is that really what's going to happen?
You know, in the typical fashion of a politician, I'm going to avoid committing myself right now.
That's fair. Good enough. Listen, you've been like heavily involved in TPUSA, and you've had some pretty neat experiences. I'd love to hear how that got started for you, and I'd love to hear about your trip to Mar-a-Lago, by the way.
Absolutely. The thing that first turned me on to Turning Point was my experience in the speech and debate world. And coming from the state of Louisiana, when once actually participate, you don't necessarily expect to wake up and see the world view like that you see up in New York, of where you see on very elite college campuses, where critical race theory, where kind of the woke ideology and intellectual sentiment is like commonplace. But in the debate world, I found that was very much the case. I'll never forget, at the final round of our national qualifiers my freshman year, I had a speech and debate judge write in her comments, "How dare you quote an enslaver like Thomas Jefferson in your speeches?"
Really?
And absolutely. And the thing was, we talked to the tournament hosts, we talked to people about it, and nobody ever did anything. And it's because it's expected. And that's what made me think, okay, how can we as conservatives try and fight back against the left stranglehold on education? And my old debate teacher actually suggested I look into Turning Point and how they can start high school chapters, because I've heard it, but I never heard about the capacity to start a chapter while you're still in high school.
Yeah. Well, and there's not many of them, right? Like I heard there was like only maybe a dozen nationwide, or what do you think? How many are there at high school level?
I think there's a little bit more now. I know that in the past, especially when I was starting one, there were very few. I think there were only about 12 chapters in all across the South. Wow. But I know they're bigger in Texas now, and they've been growing pretty rapidly.
Well,
but it was a lot of trouble even to start it up at Lafayette High, and I think maybe that's one of the reasons why you see less high school Turning Point chapters. I know for us, what we had to do was we actually had to fight our administration pretty vehemently. We came in, initially tried to start one, and the administration okayed it, and then phone calls started. People whose parents objected called them saying it was a hateful organization. Someone called it a terrorist organization.
God. Unbelievable. And the rhetoric is unbelievable from the left, but that also means they're scared of you.
Absolutely, and I mean, clearly they were, because they just stopped calling. Until our school tried to shut it down. And even then, the only way we were actually able to start our chapter was by going out and talking at some local community events. They had Citizens for New Louisiana. They had some local Republican Party chapters and a bunch of local political organizations we actually went to talk to. And we realized that what the school did was actually federally illegal. There's something called the Equal Access Act of 1984 that says they can't discriminate based on political viewpoints if you're starting a club. We have a Bible study club, we had a gender sexuality alliance, and if they have those clubs, then they're obligated legally by the federal law to allow a Turning Point chapter. And so we had to fight even to have those rights allowed by our school.
Well, good for you. So you've been up now for a few years, 2 or 3 years?
Yes, sir, about 3 years.
That's great. So you went to Mar-a-Lago. I think TPUSA had a winter gala, and you were one of the speakers there. Tell me about how that came about and what it was like when you were there.
So our advisor for Turning Point, our local advisor, said, "Lincoln, you have a good story about having to fight with your school administration to get this club started up." And so she suggested I try out for Turning Point's Campus Warrior Award. which is the award they give to one college and one high school student nationwide for their ability to effectively like motivate people to get out and turn out and start other chapters up and essentially be part of the movement. And I was lucky enough to go through the interview process there and actually win the award.
Wow.
And I was able to go to Mar-a-Lago, and it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had.
So you got down to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, you were basically a sort of a celebrity for the moment there. But when you gave your speech, how big a crowd were you speaking to?
Oh, several hundred people, and it was some big names. I know they had Carrie Lake there. They had James O'Keefe, and of course, Charlie Kirk himself was there. Yeah. It was really an incredible experience, and one of the things that I will always keep with me from that was the fact that every single person we met there was genuinely nice.
Yeah.
It was the fact that every single person that we met there was a Christian. Every single person that we met there was someone who had a good head on their shoulders. And my grandmother came with me, and one of the things she kept commenting on was the fact they kept offering, you know, alcohol and everything there. And, you know, half the people there just didn't drink because they thought it was bad for you and things like that. And I just don't think you'll see that level of, you know, self-control at many other places.
No kidding. So you got a chance to meet Charlie Kirk personally. What were your impressions of him in person? And was it one-on-one or just in a group?
Unfortunately, I never got to talk to Charlie very extensively one-on-one. And,
okay.
But I did have the chance to kind of corner him for a little while at the actual gala. And what was really cool about that to me was we had talked a little bit about books, and that I said I'd only ever read one of his books. Well, about a week after we got home, that was really what most of our conversation consisted of, I got a box in the mail, and it was about six or seven of Charlie Kirk's books that he had published, and they had been sent to me with a note. I don't know if he wrote the note or someone in his office wrote the note, but they said I did a good job at speaking at Mar-a-Lago, and they wanted me to have these books so I could read. And I think it's really just touching.
Wow.
That just off that like little simple conversation, I left with something, and he had them send me those books just because I mentioned I thought it would be interesting to read.
That's also a clear indication. I have heard that he was a very thoughtful individual who remembered people, and so he literally walked away from that brief interaction where you mentioned about the books, and it stuck with him enough to make sure you had something. So that's way cool. Listen, man, you've got very cool experiences. You've already fought with, you know, the establishment, so to speak, to get your own chapter going. But let me ask you, what's your sense of things in the wake of last week's shooting or assassination, really, of Charlie Kirk? What was on your mind, and what are your peers saying about it? What's the thought?
I would say I've seen two kind of spears. One is you realize that a man was shot in front of his wife and kids.
Yeah.
The other is you blame, you deflect, you point up a bunch of irrelevant stuff, try and downplay the fact that he was murdered in cold blood for his political opinions.
Hmm.
And I saw the first sphere just a few days ago, actually. I went to one of the vigils that was being held for Charlie at LSU, Louisiana State. And while we were over there, it was packed. Every seat in the auditorium was taken, not just by college kids, but by high schoolers and even younger kids, too, who wanted to come out. And they actually had Speaker Mike Johnson, who came, and he talked a little bit about Charlie Kirk as well as the governor. And I think that was a really touching example. But on the other side, and this is something you see especially on social media, is saying, okay, this guy who at the time we knew absolutely nothing about, and even after they revealed he was living with a transgender romantic partner, accusing him of being MAGA, or saying on Instagram or social media, saying they're turning on their own, or this is just another example of far-right terrorism.
Yeah.
And just deflecting, or they'll point out some Charlie Kirk quote where he says that on occasion, order to protect our rights, it is an okay trade-off that some people die. Or they'll just bring up things about why you care about Charlie Kirk if you're ignoring Gaza. And it's just all this hateful rhetoric that I feel is kind of being drawn out. And even if it doesn't say Charlie Kirk deserves to die, I think it's very telling when you have large groups of people who are coming out and talking about everything except the fact that he was murdered because he was exercising his right to free speech.
Yeah, that's a great encapsulation of the moment there, and you're right, it's still going on. But so let me ask you this: we got about maybe 3 minutes left here. What do you anticipate that his loss does for the movement that he was the founder of? Because I mean, I think his death is something that has hit multiple generations. But we were talking on the air earlier before you came on, but yet at the same time, his mission was your generation. So his mission in life was the Gen Z, the young voters, the young folks who recognize and feel now that they've been given ground to assert themselves both spiritually and conservatively in today's culture. What does this do for you and your peers going forward?
I think it is an absolutely tragic thing. But I think that God has the ability to ensure that anything will have results from of it that will be ultimately towards a good end.
Yeah.
And I think that Charlie Kirk's death will inspire a lot of people. And what I mean by that is I think there are a lot of people who maybe hadn't woken up yet to the reality of the amount of hatred that we're seeing, especially if you're in rural areas, areas where maybe you don't interact with people who would be considered part of like a radical leftist movement. But I know people who were very moderate, who were centrist, or even kind of liberal, who texted me and they go, Lincoln, we're starting a Turning Point chapter at our school after what happened to Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
And I think it's one of those things where you just see something and it calls a lot of people to action. It's kind of a wake-up moment. And I think I read the other day that they had about 1,800 new chapters formed just in a few days after yeah. Charlie Kirk had died on the high school and university level. And I think what we're going to see is there's going to be a lot more movement from young people because this is someone who was a champion of young people. Even if you didn't agree with him, he was for young people's ability to speak up and make their presence known and be a part of the discourse. And so I think a lot of young people are going to wake up. But at the same time, I also think it's a loss of someone who was a really big champion for young people's rights to express themselves. And I think that's a gap that we'll see how long it takes to be filled by someone who's equally charismatic and expressive and intelligent as Charlie Kirk was.
Well, that's a great word, man. And listen, we got about a little less than a minute here. Just real quick, let me ask you, your own TPUSA chapter at your high school, have you had any other students that suddenly want to join since last week?
Since last week, there's been a lot more talk about it, I'll tell you that. We've seen people at club meetings, not our own club meetings, but we've seen people at club meetings asking questions about how to join. When I was at the vigil, they had college students who were running up to the LSU president asking how to join their chapter. And so I think what we're going to see is a lot of growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, listen, Lincoln Trumps, first of all, good luck in the Ronald Reagan Oratory Nationals in California, man. I'm excited for you on that. And thank you for spending time with us today and for what you stand for and what you're doing. And keep the torch moving, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right. Well, that'll if that doesn't make you feel better about the future of America. And like I said, especially with a name like Lincoln Trump's, that's awesome. Love that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. So listen, we have been endeavoring to make sure that we are catching all aspects of what I would call the age demographic or the Gen Zs that are affected, especially by, you know, I say that it affects me. I'm an old guy. I'm the gray beard. All right. So I'm sitting here. I feel like I've just been as affected, but I will say this. It does not take away from the fact, though, that the Gen Z demographic was Charlie Kirk's mission in life. That was his passion. Was Jesus first. Conservative values are awesome. Get hold of it, Gen Z. And he went at it with such you know, amazing aplomb that he was super effective. So you've had time in his 20s to hear from JP at length. You've had time to hear a college student who's a TPUSA chapter president at University of Alabama. And you just heard from a guy named Lincoln Trumps, who is the chapter president in a high school, which is rare, by the way. They don't have many of them in Louisiana. Very cool. Very glad. You got anything on that? All right. Jenny from Decatur checked in on newsletter. Oh yeah, so Jenny, by the way, thank you very much for that. And by the way, I think Jenny, you have already applied once before, so check your spam box, make sure it came through in case you're not seeing it. But she, her doing that reminds me, if you're not getting our daily Right Side Report email newsletter, we'd love to get you on the list. Listen, we got thousands of people every single day who it drops in their inbox, and we don't sell the list and we don't spam you, nothing like that. We literally just send out the Right Side Report once a day. It has It has some of the advanced stuff that we're working on. Gives you an idea what's going to be on the show that day. Gives you links to our different podcasts. All of it in the Right Side Report. All you got to do to get on it, if you're not already, is just text the word newsletter to our text line. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text a single word, newsletter, and you'll get an automated reply back that tells you how to sign up. And it'll start dropping in every day. Brian from Decatur here says, what is frustrating is to know that most of the people that listen to this radio station will be dead and gone before this waste of carbon will ever be hanged or face a firing squad. If a Democrat president doesn't come to power and commute his sentence in the meantime. You know, maybe so. I can't say. It doesn't mean we're not going to press forward for justice, though. And I think once there's a conviction, that'll be it. And oh, by the way, the Democrat president can't commute his sentence if he's in a red state under state law. So, yeah, you won't get a Joe Biden on it, but you might see this thing move forward under the death penalty under state law, which is where it sits right now. I don't know that we're going to see federal charges. We may or may not. There are some reasons to believe that if it's classified as a hate crime, which it is, that could be federal. If it's internet-based in terms of the conspiracy, that could be federal. And then there's a few other grounds under which they might morph it to a federal. But right now, it's all state, and a future Joe Biden, who we pray never happens, would have no say over that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.